Welcome to Constructive Conversations with the Building and Realty Institute, sponsored by the Building and Realty Institute of Westchester and the Mid-Hudson Region. Founded in 1946, the BRI is an independent trade association serving all areas of the building and realty industry, including planning, engineering, legal, and government relations. Constructive Conversations is an interactive forum, keeping you up to date on the latest news and trends. And now, here's your host, Associate Executive Director of the BRI, Jeff Hanley.
Hey, good Saturday evening to all. Welcome to Constructive Conversations with the Building and Realty Institute. We thank you for joining us this evening for our 21st show here on Talk Radio 77 WABC. I am Jeff Hanley, the Associate Executive Director of the Building and Realty Institute and your program host. We are coming to you live. The Building and Realty Institute, also known as the Builders Institute, is a building, realty, and construction industry membership organization. Our association has more than 1,800 members in 14 counties of New York State. We are truly a statewide business organization. The Building and Realty Institute consistently addresses issues facing the building, realty, and construction industry sectors, as well as the general business community. And that is the focus of our program here on Talk Radio 77 WABC. As I mentioned, we are live, so please feel free to call us at 1-800-848-WABC with any questions or comments that you may have on the content of tonight's program. That number, again, is 1-800-848-WABC. Our program tonight will deliver a series of insurance updates for members of the building, realty, and construction industries in our region. Our guest is Jason Schisciano, co-president of Levitt First Insurance of Tarrytown in Westchester County here in New York State. Levitt First is the insurance manager for the Building and Realty Institute and its seven component associations. Levitt First is also the manager of the Building and Realty Institute's New York State Workers' Compensation Group 458 and New York State Workers' Compensation Group 530. Jason has been a regular guest on our show, and we are very happy to have him back with us this evening. Jason, welcome back to Constructive Conversations with the Building and Realty Institute on Talk Radio 77 WABC. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great, Jeff. I really appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
Well, we really appreciate you participating, Jason. We really, really do. Jason, please give us a brief overview of Levitt First Insurance and the services that it offers.
I sure will. I mean, you mentioned that we're located in Tarrytown. We also have an office in Parsippany, New Jersey. I think you touched on the biggest opportunity that we have for clients, our discounted workers' compensation programs, primarily for the construction and real estate industries are terrific opportunities for BRI members. We also specialize in insurance and bonding for construction and development, as well as habitational real estate and commercial real estate. And we do all other types of commercial business insurance and also provide personal insurance to successful families. I'd also mention that we're in our 51st year. We're very proud of that. We're one of the Tri-State area's largest independent agencies, and we've got a phenomenal staff of 76 people that have been doing a great job servicing our clients during these very difficult times.
Thank you, Jason. We have a lot of ground to cover, so we will get right to the content of tonight's program. Jason, we are at the time of year when guidelines boards in New York City and in Westchester, Rockland, and Nassau counties decide upon new lease renewal guidelines for multifamily buildings and complexes that are affected by New York State's rent stabilization programs. At the June 15th public hearing of the Westchester County Rent Guidelines Board, you testified that you are expecting increases in insurance expenses for owners and managers of multifamily buildings in our region. Can you please explain those increases and do they also apply to co-ops and condos?
Certainly, what you said is absolutely the case. I mean, insurance premiums have been going up, over the last decade, but they've been going up at very manageable rates, relatively speaking. And in the last 12 to 18 months, we've seen a distinct change. Liability insurance in particular, associated with landlords, condos and co-ops, et cetera, apartment buildings in particular, have gone up drastically, in particular umbrella and excess liability. And all of this is driven, we've seen increases of double-digit percentages. And this is driven primarily by a topic we've discussed frequently, Jeff, the New York scaffold law, which makes landlords 100% liable for injuries to contractors, particularly when it's a height-related fall and injury. And it's a very litigious society here in New York. Those two things combine, to produce 6- and 7-digit judgments and settlements on injury claims. And there are, frankly, very few carriers interested in writing business in New York. And the lack of competition combined with those claims has just driven up rates substantially in the recent months here.
Jason, as you well know, multifamily buildings and complexes have been hit hard by the COVID-19 pandemic in several ways, including expenses related to cleaning and disinfecting processes that are being conducted on a daily basis. On a related note, have overall insurance situations and or insurance requirements for multifamily buildings and complexes changed as a result of the pandemic? And if so, how?
Well, I'd say what's changed is a tremendous number of questions regarding insurance and COVID-19. First of all, unfortunately, there's not going to be insurance coverage to cover the added cost of cleaning and all of the additional procedures that these buildings are having to follow. And we're getting so many questions now with respect to, liability and insurance coverage for liability. For instance, if residents claim that they've become sick due to, poor practices at the building. And unfortunately, in most cases, the answer is going to be no. There's either an outright virus exclusion and communicable disease exclusion on most policies. And if not, there are other exclusionary language in the policies that the carriers are likely going to employ to deny those claims. But really, the only way to find out is for a building to actually turn in a claim and have the insurance carrier make it a definitive written position on it.
Very good, Jason. Jason, the Building and Realty Institute has received numerous requests from representatives of multifamily buildings regarding the openings of pools in their respective complexes. Are there any new insurance issues that should be mentioned in relation to the openings of pools or gyms or meeting rooms in multifamily buildings or complexes? If so, please explain.
Yeah, Jeff, this is sort of an extension of, of your last question. I mean, there are currently no insurance products that are specifically designed to cover COVID-19 sickness claims. That may be the case in the future, but right now that's not the case. So, as I mentioned, coverage for liability claims associated with opening pools in gyms, if one or more people claim they got sick because they were using the pool or the gym, and perhaps they allege that the building did not follow best practices with respect to keeping the area clean and disinfected, those types of claims, you should always check with your insurance broker and your insurance carrier. But in general, there's no guarantee within the policy language of a typical policy that's going to guarantee coverage for those types of liability claims. So the boards of these buildings and the property managers need to take that into consideration when making a decision as to whether or not they want to open their pool or their gym.
Very good stuff, Jason. In your last appearance on Constructive Conversations with the Building and Realty Institute, which was on April 11th, you delivered an excellent summary on the effects of the pandemic on the building, realty, and construction trades. Are there any developments regarding insurance situations since April 11th that you would like to mention? Developments affecting contractors, subcontractors, property owners, property managers, and the workers that those employers utilize.
Yeah, I mean, I expect we'll get, you know, more into the details, but in general, we're a couple more months down the road, and many businesses, unfortunately, have suffered a couple more months of either very slow business or no business whatsoever. So it's mainly an extension of what we, you know, saw initially back in April. Most carriers, but not all, are trying to be flexible and work with their clients either to defer premium payments or to lower the exposures, whether that be payroll or sales, et cetera, on which the premiums are based, and in order to try and keep their clients' policies in force during this very difficult time.
Okay. Jason, Levitt First Insurance recently announced that members of the Building and Realty Institute, New York State Workers' Compensation Construction Safety Group 458, and Real Estate Safety Group 530 can take advantage of a recently announced assistance program provided by the New York State Insurance Fund as a result of the pandemic. Can you explain that, please?
Sure. Yeah. What happened, it applies to our two safety groups as well as any workers' compensation policy in New York. And what the state did was they formed a new payroll code for those employees that are either working from home or they're being paid just to stay home. And the payroll code that they created has a much lower cost or rate than many of the other payroll codes used to develop workers' comp premium, in particular, construction and real estate-related codes. So, in general, a workers' compensation policyholder in New York is going to end up paying lower premium than what would have been the case had this code not been developed. And the policyholder does not need to do anything in particular right now except for keep very detailed records as to who is getting paid to work it from home or to be idle at home instead of, let's say, on a construction site. And then all of this will get sorted out and the new rate will get applied to that type of payroll upon the audit of the workers' compensation policy, which is an annual audit.
You're listening to Constructive Conversations with the Building and Realty Institute, a radio program of the Building and Realty Institute of Westchester and the Mid-Hudson region. We thank you for joining us on this Saturday evening here on Talk Radio 77 WABC. I am Jeff Hanley, Associate Executive Director of the Building and Realty Institute and your program host. On behalf of the Board of Trustees of our association and Tim Foley, our Executive Director, we again thank you for joining us. Any questions about the Building and Realty Institute can be directed to info@buildersinstitute.org, just as it sounds, info@buildersinstitute.org, or to our offices at 914-273-0730. That's 914-273-0730. You can also obtain information at our website, buildersinstitute.org, just as it sounds, buildersinstitute.org. Our program this evening is providing a series of insurance updates for the building, realty, and construction industries in our region. Our guest is Jason Schisciano, co-president of Levitt First Insurance of Tarrytown in Westchester County here in New York State. Levitt First is the insurance manager for the Building and Realty Institute and its seven component associations. Please feel free to call us at 1-800-848-WABC with any comments or questions that you may have on the content of our show this evening. That number again is 1-800-848-WABC. We would be happy to hear from you. Levitt First, Jason, also recently noted that there are additional COVID-19 relief programs related to insurance that have been produced as a result of the pandemic. Can you please explain those programs?
Yeah, there are a number of them, Jeff, so feel free to interrupt me as we go along. I mean, the first related to our last topic of workers' compensation. If you do have employees that, you know, get sick on the job, contract coronavirus, and it's definitively from their work on the job, which is obviously sometimes going to be difficult to prove. But if you do have those types of claims, that claim will not go against the employer's what's called experience modification rating, which is basically the claims history. So that's helpful if in fact COVID type claims arise in your employees. It'll help keep your premiums down in the future. There have been, as you know, the state of New York allowed for deferral of premium payments beginning around March. This was the first iteration of this. That premium relief or deferral program, I should say, is now been extended through July 6th.
Okay.
So premiums that were due through July 6th have a 60-day extension. Very important to point out that extension only applies to admitted insurance carriers. They're in the state of New York. Those are carriers that are licensed in New York State. Other carriers sell insurance in New York. They may or may not honor that deferral program. And it's not a forgiveness. It's just allowing you to delay payment of your premiums. And many of our policyholders and other policyholders have financed premiums, and in that case, you've got to work with the finance company to make alternate payment arrangements if you're having hardship. So you got to call your broker, call your carrier, call your finance company to get that deferral.
And again, those are extensions; those are not forgiveness programs.
Yep,
correct?
Exactly.
Okay,
right. Very important to delineate that.
Okay, keep going, please.
Yeah. I mean, there are many carriers for commercial automobile insurance. Those companies that have several or a fleet of commercial automobiles, obviously, many of these vehicles have not been on the road. So some carriers are offering what's called like a layup program, a program where if you call the carrier or your broker and tell them, I'm not using this vehicle, it's not being used at all, it's sitting in a garage, and the engine's not even being turned on to drive around, they will offer potentially a reduced rate or partial premium refund. But again, you've got to check with your carrier on that. A number of carriers from a personal insurance side, and many of us have seen the commercials on TV from various carriers, are providing automatic premium credits or refunds on your automobile insurance. Those range from anywhere from typically 15% to 25%, but only applying to the month that the carrier deems to have been affected by this pandemic, when you're not using your personal vehicle. And you don't really need to do anything to obtain those credits. They're either going to be applied to your bill, or they're going to be available if you renew with the carrier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You also have carriers that are willing to, for back to commercial insurance, willing to adjust your exposure on which the premium is based on, whether that's payroll or sales, which is very typical. If you're in the middle of your policy term and you thought you were going to do $1 million in sales and now you're only going to do, let's say, $500,000 or $750,000, again, call your broker. Your broker could work with the carrier and attempt to get the exposure reduced, which will reduce your premium. We've had a number of questions with respect to business interruption claims, where if your business is slow or has been halted, will the insurance company basically reimburse you for lost business income? We've written and talked a lot about this. We think in general that carriers are going to be denying these claims, at least initially, because the virus is not causing what's called physical damage to a covered property, although that's subjective.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way to find out about whether or not a claim like that will be covered or not is to actually file a claim with your carrier and see what they respond to and how they respond.
That was a great summary on a lot of in-depth situations, Jason. Thank you so very much for that. By the way, if anyone has any questions on insurance and for Jason Schishano, please feel free to call him at Levitt First, 914 914-457-4200. That's 914-457-4200. And again, Jason, an excellent summary on a lot of complex topics. Thank you so much for that.
Sure.
Jason, at the February 10th Board of Trustees meeting of the Building and Realty Institute, it seems like last night, but here it is June already. But at that meeting, you said that insurance increases for developers, for builders, for contractors in 2020 were going to be significant. Here we are months later, okay? What is happening with those projected increases?
Yeah, I mean, we're many months down the road, you know, almost, a half year or so since we started acknowledging that trend and mentioning it. And it's done nothing but come to be reality. If you're a contractor or a developer, you already know what we're talking about. And we're not talking about in general, like a general liability premium or an umbrella or excess premium going up by, 3, 4, 5, 8%, and thinking that that's a big increase. We're talking in some cases, not all, but in many cases, we're talking about increases of 20, 30, 40, 50%, sometimes even more, just due to the unbelievable, unique situation for insurance for developers and contractors in New York State.
I always ask you this question. And sorry, I do have to ask it again. What are the reasons for those increases? One has to be New York State scalp law, which you mentioned earlier in the program, correct?
Yeah, and when we brought it up earlier, we talked about it in terms of the exposure for a landlord at a condo or a co-op or a commercial building, and the landlord's liability for contractors working at the building. But the same thing applies as well for contractors, because the building owners will often try to pass on the risk to the contractor working at the building and have, attempt to have the contractor's insurance company protect or indemnify the building owner. So the same exposure that exists for the insurance carriers of buildings also exists for the building, for the carriers of contractors. And knowing this, there are so few carriers that will compete for contractor business in the state of New York. And those carriers have been experiencing increasingly large claims and settlements and judgments over recent years. That's reduced competition, and premiums continue to rise.
We stress it over and over again, but we will stress it again because it is highly important to cite. These increases continue to have highly negative effects on the state's economy, and they also cause businesses to continuously leave New York State, correct, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, businesses, obviously, members of the BRI and businesses like that, but also, as I said, the insurance carriers are leaving New York State too, and that's not helping the rate situation. And I guess the really unfortunate thing is, I won't go into, the details or politics of it, but suffice it to say that it's likely not going to change that scaffold law anytime soon. The absolute liability that it places on building owners and contractors is probably not going anywhere for any time in the near future.
8:26 here on Constructive Conversations with the Building and Realty Institute. We have about 5 minutes remaining. Jason, are there any noteworthy items on insurance issues for the general business community that you would like to mention?
Well, I think the biggest one for the general business community, and I would say in particular this applies to companies that do a high volume of retail type transactions with clients, credit cards in particular, or have a very large number of employees that they have what's called personally identifiable data for. Names, addresses, social security numbers, and of course for retail operations, credit card numbers. With this pandemic, the number of cyber liability and security breaches over the internet type of security breaches has gone through the roof. There are a lot of people sitting around all over the world, and often these attacks come from overseas, these cyber attacks. that, you know, more than ever have nothing else to do other than wage cyber warfare and try to make a profit off of other people's, you know, difficult situation or frankly ignorance. So what I would say is that if your business does not have a cyber liability policy at this point, even if you're not doing a bunch of credit card transactions, but even, you know, for the personal information that you have on your systems for your employees, et cetera, and for an employee that may not be following, you know, your procedures or systems with respect to issuing a payment or a wire transfer, you got to have a cyber liability policy. It's critical. We're way past the point where it's like a new type of policy that only a few companies should have. Everybody should have a cyber liability insurance policy at this point.
Jason, we have about 2 minutes remaining. Can you once again explain the benefits of participation in New York State Workers' Compensation Group 458 and New York State Workers' Compensation Group 530?
My favorite topic, so I can talk about it as much as you want. If, you know, the members of the Building and Realty Institute, as we've talked throughout the show, are developers, they're contractors, subcontractors, they're real estate and landlords. So they've got employees doing construction work or building operations, work, building superintendent, et cetera. And if you've got these types of exposures, the most cost-effective workers' compensation insurance out there is going to be through our safety groups. We offer an upfront discount on your premium for qualifying companies, and then every group member for the decades that the groups have been in existence has benefited from a dividend based on the excellent performance overall of the safety group. So the discount and dividend together make it the best option for workers' comp insurance.
Jason Schishano of Levitt First Insurance, thank you so very much for an excellent summary. We really appreciate your participation. We wish you a great weekend. We wish you a happy 4th of July. Listeners, thank you for joining us this evening on Constructive Conversations with the Building and Realty Institute. We will not be with you next Saturday evening, which is July 4th. We are preempted by some very special programming here on 77 WABC, but we will be back on July 11th at our regular time at 8 p.m. We invite you to join us that evening. We wish you a great weekend. We wish you all a very happy and safe July 4th. And once again, we thank you for joining us this evening on Constructive Conversations with the Building and Realty Institute. Again, you can obtain information about our association at buildersinstitute.org or by emailing us at info@buildersinstitute.org, or feel free to call our offices in Westchester County, 914-273-0730. That's 914-273-0730. Once again, this is your program host, Jeff Hanley, and the Associate Executive Director of the Building and Realty Institute, wishing our listeners and all the listeners on Talk Radio 77 WABC a great weekend.